want you to take your Bibles, if you will, and go back to Exodus chapter number 3, if you would. Exodus chapter number 3. I certainly enjoyed the great message this morning, stirred my heart. And I was thinking about, along with that, that one of the things that leads to the joy in our life is the presence of God. He is the source of our joy. And so I want to bring somewhat of a companion message to that in the pathway to this joy and wonderful peace that fills our heart. If you'll look with me, Exodus chapter number 3, and let's begin in verse 1, a very familiar passage. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush, and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Let's pray. Precious Father, how we thank you for the precious living Word of God. And Father, thank you for the ministry of the Holy Ghost that comes and makes it personal and real to our soul. Father, we come tonight rejoicing already in the good Word of God. Thank you, Father, for stirring our hearts and taking us back to Calvary, reminding us of the cross, and reminding us of the joy, Lord, that we found when we gave our life to Jesus. And Lord, when you came and filled us with your presence, oh, Father, joy unspeakable, we thank you, Lord. Now, Father, we ask you to help us now and guide us through the Spirit of God into these precious thoughts of the holiness of God. And help us, Lord, today. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Here we find, of course, Moses being turned aside by a great sight. The Lord spoke to him. And you'll note here, the Lord told him he was on holy ground. Holy ground. You know, the Bible tells us in Peter that we are to be holy. Holy. Be holy, for I am holy, the Bible said. But to be holy, we need to know what holiness is. And God began to reveal his holiness and began to unfold for us what it means to be holy. There are many people today who have the wrong idea about holiness. Holiness is not really something you do. Most people associate it with holiness as that I have a list of things that I follow and I do them, but that's not real holiness. Now, if you're holy, there are things you will do, amen, and there's things you won't do. And a matter of fact, some have simply said, well, holiness is just separation. Now, listen, holiness is not really separation, but if you're holy, you will be separated, amen. I mean, they'll go together. But we're not just separated from things, we are to be separated to God himself. And here I want you to see that God appeared to him out of the fire and in that burning bush, and Moses turned aside to see it because it was a glorious fire. It wasn't the natural fire, but it was a glorious fire. It was somewhat of a intriguing and fascinating sight. He turned aside to see it, and there God spoke to him out of the bush that was on fire but not being consumed. It reminds us that God reveals himself, that he indeed is a fire. The Bible said our God is a consuming fire. One thing about fire is that we know that it is a fascinating thing. I've never gotten over the fascination of fire. It will get you in trouble. It's gotten me in trouble. One day I was burning some leaves when I was down in South Georgia. And I had raked up my front yard, and I knew better. I knew you're supposed to use kerosene. I didn't want to take the time to go get the kerosene, and so I looked back and I said, well, you know, I'm going to use gasoline. I'll just be careful. And so I saturated the leaves with gasoline, And I got as far as I could, and I tried the thing where you flip the match, you know. And I've done it before, it just wasn't working. And so I got a piece of paper, and I tried again. And finally, I said, this is ridiculous. I went over and lit the thing. When it did, the explosion knocked me back. One of my deacons was passing by, and he stopped me. He said, preacher, you're okay. And I said, yeah, I'm fine. He said, please come to the house next time. Get some kerosene before you kill yourself, and we got to get a new preacher. But I always loved the fire. It's just fascinating. But I want you to see, Moses was seeing this fire, and there was a gloriness about the fire. That is, that something was on fire but not being consumed. And God began to reveal His holiness from a great fire, because fire always changes things. It always does. That which will burn will be consumed. But we also know the qualities of fire that are a great benefit to us that we use today. I'm thankful that we have places to cook our food and warm houses and things that we use for fire. And listen, it has a great benefit and blessing to us. Fire also is used to purify things and to make things stronger. And God began to reveal Himself from the burning bush. Moses turned aside. And notice, when the Lord saw that he turned and began to come, then God spoke to him. But what did God say? He said, Moses, take off your shoes because you're on holy ground. Now, why was that ground holy? It was holy because God was present. That's why it was holy. If you and I are to understand something about be ye holy, we have to understand that God alone is holy. And God, listen, is the Holy One, the Lord Jesus, the Holy One. God alone is holy. And what makes holy is the presence of Almighty God.
Amen.
And so holiness is not just a list of all the things I should be doing. It's not just separation, but real holiness is the presence of God Himself. God began to reveal that holiness through the Word of God and in the bush. And then also, if you look with me in Exodus chapter number 25, I want you to see God further begins to reveal His holiness. In Exodus 25, look at verse 8. The Bible says, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. And then notice chapter 29, if you will, in verse number 43. And there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. And I will sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, and I will sanctify also both Aaron and his sons to minister to me in the priest's office. And I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God, and they shall know that I am the Lord their God that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. I want you to see, God said, I want you to build me a dwelling. And you know that when God began to reveal how the dwelling was made, it was a holy place. And you know that, listen, God sanctified all of the vessels and all of the servants and ministers. God would dwell among them. And where did God dwell? God put the tabernacle in the midst of the people. God dwelled in the middle. God dwelled in the midst. God dwelled in the very heart of the people. And God's dwelling was a holy place. And God began to reveal in that great tabernacle that there was the outer court, there was the holy place and the holy of holies, where God Himself did dwell. And we find here that this is the very center where God did dwell among them. We also find that God began to reveal His holiness in His dwelling. Holiness, remember, is the presence of God. It is where God dwells. Listen, it is the holy place because God is there. And listen, the tabernacle was holy. It was just a tent-like structure, but it was a holy place because the Almighty God came and resided there in the midst of the people. And God began there with His great purpose to make Israel a holy nation. God began to reveal His great purpose. One of the burdens, I think, of all of us who are preachers and pastors and missionaries and evangelists is we're trying to teach people that salvation is not just a prayer and an insurance from hell. Listen, it is God's plan and purpose to make you holy. Why? Because God, listen, wants to dwell with us forever. And listen, God will not compromise. God is holy. And listen, God is a great consuming fire. When there is sin in the presence of God, it will be consumed. However, God has a burning desire, listen, of love to bring us unto Himself, to live with us. And so God, what is He doing? He is preparing us to live with Him forever because He is going to make us holy so that we can dwell together. And so this is God's great calling and purpose, is to make us a holy people. This is where we can enjoy and live in His presence. You know, listen, they were restricted. Those special anointed servants were called in to minister. And they came, and listen, they would come into the outer court. And there was the altar, the brazen altar, and the laver. And they would come into the holy place, and then once a year, they would, listen, that priest, high priest, would go into the holy of holies where God Himself did dwell. And there, listen, that once a year make atonement, and to listen, to bring back the gifts to the people of God's acceptance of the blood sacrifice. Listen, God began unfolding His great purpose. Listen, through the bush and through the tabernacle and through the nation. If you read on through the prophet Isaiah, you'll find that more is revealed how that God had called His nation to be a holy people. And God's desire for Israel to be a holy people. We come over now into the New Testament. What do we find? How we find, listen, that our salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, it's not of the works nor merit or thing we have accomplished, what we have done. We know, listen, that it's by the grace of God through the provision of the Lord Jesus. And how's a man get saved? Listen, not by turning over a new leaf, not by his own efforts, but it's when he opens his heart and cries out for Christ to come and dwell within him. Listen, that is how God provided to make us holy. It is the presence of God in us. When we open our heart by faith to receive. And listen, thank God today that you and I as believers are indwelt by the Holy Ghost of God. And what does the New Testament tell us concerning the believer in Christ? That we today are the temple of the Holy Ghost of God. That God comes, and listen, thank God we are sealed with the Spirit unto the day of redemption. Thank God today, listen, I rejoice. Listen, because God is present in that tabernacle, we discover something else, that the closer you got to God, the more holy the place. If you'll study the tabernacle, you'll find, listen, that to God led them carefully in how that priest would come once a year into the Holy of Holies. And he knew that as he approached further, and he knew as he came in that veil, and stepped in, he knew that he was in the most holy place. Matter of fact, if you'll read one of my favorite passages in the Word of God, how listen, is when the glory of God filled the temple when Solomon had dedicated. And you remember what? You remember the glory of God filled the house so much that they couldn't stand the minister. Now folks had to flee because of the awesome presence of God had moved in. But you know what triggered that? If you go back and read it, the Bible said that they had taken the Ark of the Covenant. The only thing in it at that time was the very law of God. And the Bible said they put it in the most holy place. And when they put the Word of God in the most holy place, the glory of God came down and filled the temple. And you and I understand personally today, individually, that if you want God's glory to fill your life, it's when you take the Word of God and you put it in your own heart and hold it in the most holy place. That means all my ideas, my thoughts, my wisdom, all are sacrificed, and the Word of God becomes enshrined and enthroned in my heart, and I put God's Word in the most holy place in my life, and then the glory of God shall fill the temple of the Holy Ghost. Oh, listen. Oh, as we begin to see God begin to reveal, it is in the person of Jesus Christ presented, listen, the Holy One of Israel, the Holy One of God. And Jesus came and dwelt among us. And what do we find? We find that Jesus Christ was the Holy One in a human body. And as we look to Him, Jesus said this, I and the Father are one. You know what? Jesus Christ was holy. The Holy One. You know why? Because of the perfect presence of God. Matter of fact, we understand that the mystery of godliness, God in human flesh, God came to dwell among us, Emmanuel, God with Amen. Us. And listen, what was in that human body was the Holy Son of God. And the Bible said, listen, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And he said, I am in the Father and the Father in me. Listen, thank God. Listen, as a hell-deserving sinner, I opened up my heart and ask the Holy One to come and be my Savior and come and live in me. And listen, God now seeks to dwell in the midst of you. And listen, we have been brought unto the holy place, unto the Holy One, and God's purpose to make us holy. God seeks a dwelling upon the earth. Now listen, when God meets here at Fellowship Baptist Church, you know why? It's because God's people who are filled with the Spirit came into this building. You and I understand. I realize some people talk about the church today, and usually they make a reference to the building. However, you and I know the truth of that concerning that the word church means assembly. That's the assembly of God's people. Listen, you might meet together and might be establishing churches. Some of you may have. And listen, the best you can do is meet outside in some parking lot. Listen, if you meet there in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, God will meet with you, and it'll be a holy place. It'll be a holy place. Some people, listen, certainly have a reverence, and we should have a reverence for things that God uses. I understand that. But we also know, listen, that those are simple vessels and things. That's what they are. They're simple vessels and things. And I want to remind you that in the midst of this world, listen, that the real ministry that God called us to is a ministry to people. Now we know that all these things, listen, one of these days, all these things will be consumed and they will melt, listen, with the great fires of God. Listen, these are vessels and tools we use. But listen, God has come to call out a people that He's going to save and redeem. And listen, open up, listen, the holy place of glory and bring in the children of God that He might dwell with us for all eternity. And listen, He'll be our Father, we'll be His children. Live forever with Him. And so God has a purpose. That purpose is to make us holy. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 7:1, that we are to be perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You say, preacher, does that mean I need to add to the list? Well, I think you got the wrong idea. Listen, perfecting holiness in the fear of God and all the other commands, there are others, 1 Thessalonians 2, about our responsibility toward holiness. You know what that is? That is, simply put, it's more of me out of this vessel and the more of God. That is the real essence of what the revelation of holiness and what God means when He says, be ye holy. You and I, sometimes we look at a command like that and we think there's such a far off gulf that, listen, we just disregard it because it's seemingly so impossible. But it's not impossible. God doesn't waste words, nor does He give commands that He doesn't intend to be obeyed. Listen, He wants His commandments to be obeyed, and we are to be holy. And listen, how is it that we are to be holy? And listen, it is the presence of God that makes holy. And listen, as God fills us, as we get out of the way, and listen, we We come to that place. God told Isaiah that I am the high and lofty one, and I dwell in the high places. But he said, I dwell with him of a broken and contrite spirit.
That's right. Exactly.
That brokenness comes, the life of a believer, when he comes to the place where he realizes that there is nothing in this flesh that I am to put any trust or confidence in.
Yep.
He becomes broken. And that is that he comes always seeking God. Seeking the wisdom of God. Seeking the will of God. Seeking the strength that comes from God. How many times people have missed out on opportunities to have a real time with God and know God is present. Because it's only when we empty ourselves that we can be filled with God. And listen, when God comes in, listen, glorious things happen. When God comes in, that's where the shout begins. That's where the joy happens. That's where the peace is. And listen, when we come to that place where we empty ourselves, then we can experience the glory and greatness. You ever come to that place, I'm sure you have, where you just come to an end of yourself, one of the best days of your life, and you just said, Lord, this is it. Lord, I don't know what to do. I'm at the end of my wit. I don't know what to do, Lord. I'm just coming, falling down before you. God, just empty myself. I don't know what to do and how to do it. God, I'm going to cling to you and to your promises and to your word by faith. You know what's going to happen? Since you stepped out of the way, God's going to show up. God's going to show up. My wife and I have been doing this for a long time. Some people keep the years. I've stopped madam. You know, I don't know, been preaching 40-something years, I guess. And close to it. And my wife and I have seen those times, and we rejoice in those times. When we came up against a rock wall, and finally we just laid it out to God. And you know what? We're able to give testimonies that thrill our soul because we just simply got out of the way and let God do it.
Amen.
And you know what? And then God gives us something to testify about. You know what's happened in the churches today? We've not only lost our joy, we've lost our testimony. You know what? Used to have a testimony meeting, and you wonder if you get to preach at all. Well, if we don't, I guess that'll be all. Lord, you know, now, let's have a testimony about it, brother. Well, listen, you got one regular. Thank God, always stands up. Thank God I'm saved. Praise God to save me. Praise the Lord. And you always count on that, dear brothers. But you look around. Anybody else have anything exciting to tell about the Lord? Huh? You know? Listen, not just my church. I've been in service. And the preacher stopped and gave a testimony to me. And he's up there. Hey, anybody here even saved? You know, people are reading. Isn't it amazing that you and I walk with God? We don't have nothing to talk about. The great, almighty, eternal God who does all things, and we have spent the last week walking with God, and we got nothing to share. I'll guarantee you, those men who walk with Jesus, I want to tell you, I don't know how they even slept at night. Can you imagine laying your head down on that old bedroll or rock or whatever they had, and listen, think about what happened that day and what they saw. You remember, the Bible tells us many times, they walked away. Never a man spake like this man. What manner of man is this that even the winds and waves obey? Can you imagine trying to sleep after walking with Jesus on the day and listen, hearing and seeing what you saw? How in the world could you get any sleep at all? The Bible didn't tell us, I can't help but imagine Peter waking up John. He said, can you believe that? What we saw? I don't know how you just go in there and just fall straight asleep. How is it that we have none to share? You know why? Because when we come to that place where we get out of the way, God will show himself mighty and strong. I'll give this illustration. I've shared it many times. But my wife and I went by faith down in Florida trying to start a work. And as we were moved there by faith. We had a little money saved up, not much. Didn't take long before that ran out. We had both been looking for jobs. The little nucleus of people going to pay us about $35 a week when we first started. And that's the best they could do. And so we had to find jobs. We had We'd paid a month's rent and all the deposit and all that other mess you had to pay to get things going. And listen, that about wiped us out. And so we finally, I got a part-time job, and she got a job at church. And so, but you know how they used to do, I don't know if they still do it or not, but they used to not pay you the first week, you went until the second week, and then if you quit, you know, you got a check a week later. I never have figured that out. But anyway, that's what they did. We come to the place where there was nothing to eat. Now, I'm not talking about stuff you didn't want to eat. I'm talking about nothing. I'm talking about nothing to eat. Nothing. I'm no cracker. I made that biggest mistake of my life. I didn't pray about this. I should have prayed about this. We had 87 cents in my pocket, and that's it. That's all we had. We went down to the grocery store, and I said, what can we spread out the most with 87 cents? I still think it's her idea. Maybe it was mine. But we bought a box of saltine crackers. You can tell this a while back. They're $2 now. But we bought a box of saltine crackers. And listen, I was looking for something we could make that last. I should have went with peanut butter. But I bought something I never tried before. Potted meat. I took one bite. I'm full. I feel so much better. And her brother used to eat it all the time. I thought, well, you might be good. And I don't know if she ate any of it. And I thought, Lord, I took the last 87 cent we had and I spent on potty meat. Oh, God, have mercy. And so we got in the living room and we said, Lord, this is it. We got nothing. It's going to be a while before we get our first check. We got nothing to do. Nothing. And so we got on our knees in the living room. And we began to pray. And said, God, now best we know how. We've done this by faith. Without you, we're nothing anyway. And Lord, though we don't deserve a thing, we are going to claim your promise and the word of God that you take care of. We've done everything we know to do. I can call some people. They can't get to us right now. Nobody's close by. But Lord, here's what I'm doing. We'll call on you. We begin to pray. And said, Lord, it won't hurt us if we don't eat. We get by. We'll survive. But you promised. I guess it was about an hour later, I got a knock on the door. Opened the door. There was a man standing there. Had a big old aluminum tray. He said, brother, he said, I just want to introduce myself. He said, I live a neighbor of yours across the way there. And he said, we like to welcome people when they come in to our area. And I've heard that y'all trying to start a church down there and all that kind of stuff. And he said, I was out fishing on the pier. That's Panama City Beach, Florida. He was out fishing on the pier. And he said, I caught a 20-pound king mackerel. And he said, my wife said, honey, why don't you take it down to that new couple down there? And so he said, I started out. She said, don't take them the fish. You know, big old slimy long fish. She said, let's take it and let's cook it. And so, listen, he said, we brought it to you. Hope you like fish. Could I tell you, there's never been a better tasting fish in all my life. Listen, because that lady may have cooked it, but it was God who got in there and prepared it. And I'll tell you what. We had a supper fit for a king and enjoyed that mackerel, and we wept through supper. Now, I've wept through suppers before, like the potted meat. But I wept through this supper for a different reason. Amen. Because the glory of God had come and showed us. And you know, if you get out of the way and cast it all upon God, he'll show you. Right. And you'll have something to tell the church about in your walk. The holiness of God. Amen. Holiness is not just a list. It is God's presence. Be holy. Listen. Is to make a dwelling place for God in your vessel. Right. And with yourself out of the way, you'll come to realize the glory of the God we serve and the blessing that He is to us. Amen. God bless you. Father, we do thank You for the privilege now sharing these precious things that You've given us. Father, thank You. Thank You, Lord. Oh, God, we stand in awe of Thee. That, Lord, what is man, Thou art mindful of him. And, Lord, to do these things You've done for us. Father, we know Your great eternal purpose is to dwell with us eternally. And, Father, Lord, You have sent Your own Son. And through the provision He made it possible that one day we could be made like unto Him, perfected. One day You'll present us faultless as the very sons of God. And, Lord, we will live with Thee forever. Thank You, Father, for such grace as this. In the precious name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen.